Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. My name is Ben. I write some videos here.
And I'm Scott. I'm the auto editor here.
And that's awesome because we are on an auto show. Scott, we love listener mail, don't we?
We do. And you know what? We've had some really interesting listener requests recently.
Sure.
In the past few, I'd say a few months even.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're really stepping it up.
Mm-hmm. And this is a twofer.
Yeah, this is. We've got two requests for the same topic, and they came in, oddly enough, within about a week of each other.
Mm-hmm.
First one is Garrett.
And Garrett says, hey, Ben and Scott, I'm pretty sure you've gone through the 80s when you were growing up, so you probably also remember the car manufacturer DMC. And he says they're the makers of his second favorite car, the DeLorean. And he was hoping we could talk about this car on the podcast, and he even gave us a couple places to look at for research.
Fantastic. Good idea. And not long after that, there was a request from someone else to mention something about the DeLorean. And this one has a different angle to it, though. Remember when we were talking about the movie cars?
Yes.
Okay, this particular listener, his name is Kevin, and Kevin is from New Zealand. Kevin says that the first one that he listened to was the Notable Movie Car Edition.
Oh, cool.
And so, you know, that's a popular one. We've got a lot of feedback on that one from, you know, for the months even. And he says he was doing some Google imaging and research, and he said that he came across something else that intrigued him because he was looking up the DeLorean for the Back to the Future, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't know if you ever heard of this, but did you look up the – I think you mentioned this during our podcast, the DeLorean Anchor.
Yes. Oh, this is one of my favorite urban legends.
That there were DeLoreans sunk as anchors for fishing vessels.
I still don't know whether or not this is true.
We'll clear that up in a moment.
Okay.
But he said that he came across this bit of information, and it's nothing really new because it's been around for a while, this information. So we're just digging this up now. But he says that he thought it might be interesting and may want to talk about it on our podcast. So here we go.
Yeah, we agree. Garrett, Kevin, and anyone else who likes DeLoreans or, of course, Back to the Future, this one's for you guys. Scott, let's just have a quick look at the DeLorean Motor Company.
Okay, so there's a million ways we can go with this one.
Yeah.
I guess we'll talk. I guess most people probably know what the DeLorean is or was.
Yeah.
Stainless steel sports car.
Gull wing doors.
Exactly. One of a kind, really, because it wasn't really built on anything else. It was just a dream of one man, and he made it happen for maybe a brief amount of time, and we'll find out what happened later.
And that man's name was John DeLorean.
Yeah, and he's born in Detroit, on Detroit's east side, I guess, is where he grew up. And he worked for Chrysler Corporation. He worked for Packard Motor Car Company. And eventually he moved to General Motors. And that's where, actually, a lot of people will probably recognize the products that he worked on versus his name associated with General Motors.
Hmm.
He developed the 1964 Pontiac GTO.
Did he?
Yeah, so the first muscle car was really something that came from John DeLorean. It was his idea, or his vision.
Yeah,
exactly, his vision. And I believe there was a Firebird, Trans Am, Camaro, one of those. That was also his. Again, he's with the Pontiac division, so that makes sense, right?
Wow.
The sports car division.
He's a heavy hitter.
Exactly,
then.
But he eventually decided that, he had this kind of different lifestyle that a lot of people at GM, I guess, didn't really approve of, and I'll let you read into that, or, you know, the details or whatever. But,
right.
At one point, he decided that he was going to quit GM. He decided that he was going to make his dream come true, and that was building his own car. And, so he did. He quit GM. He started up his own company, and his company was going to be called DeLorean Motor Car Company.
Mm-hmm.
Or DeLorean Motor Company.
Which we refer to as the DMC.
DMC, that's right. Yeah. And the interesting part about this is that it finally ended up being built in Ireland.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a Northern Ireland plant that manufactured the DeLorean motor car.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, I thought that was interesting to begin with because for whatever reason, I just had never pictured it as an Irish car.
Yeah, you don't see that one coming.
No, you don't, definitely. So this is by 1978 when he's building, or mm-hmm. he's building the factory in Northern Ireland, right outside of Belfast. So the DeLorean Motor Car, or DeLorean
Motor Company.
Motor Company, I keep getting that mixed up, but they built one vehicle.
The DMC-12.
Exactly. And they built it only for a couple of years. You know what years?
Let's see. I think they started.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah. No. We'll play your reindeer games here, Scott Benjamin. Let's see. I guess from, well, it had to be in the market by 1981.
Yep.
Because that's when Back to the Future came out.
Correct.
So were they producing them by 79?
Nope. 1981. That was the first year. It was a very short-lived
model,
for the DeLorean and for this DMC-12 model that they produced. And as you'll find out, that's the only one they ever got to produce because it was, again, a short-lived company. They really only produced cars in 1981 and 1982. You'll see cars that have a 1983 model year designation, but that was the end of 1982, and they were called 1983 models.
Which is conventional.
Yeah, that's conventional. In the auto world. And really, I was shocked by this, Ben. I'll say in my lifetime, I've seen a fair amount of DeLoreans on the road, in garages, just here and there, museums, wherever.
Sure.
A lot of them. As it turns out, there were only 9,000 cars that were built total in Ireland. From this factory, from the time the factory opened until the time it closed its doors, in I believe it was late 82, early 83 when it actually closed.
You know, I'd read the same thing, and it was baffling to me. All I could conjecture on is that maybe most of them are still in the States.
Well, there's only 6,000 to 7,000 of them estimated on the road worldwide. And I guess maybe you're right that a majority of them came here. There are even some special edition gold-plated.
Nice.
Yeah, which is kind of cool because, you know, we're talking about this vehicle that has a stainless steel body.
Right, so it's pretty difficult to paint.
Yeah, it is.
You couldn't get it painted when you bought it new.
Not new, you couldn't, but a lot of people found a way around that and were able to paint the vehicles. And we've seen a few of them recently, you know, maybe yellow, red, black, typical sports car colors. The strange thing that I thought was that, you know, there's still only 6,000 or 7,000 of these things around. I don't know how, I mean, I haven't seen 6,000 of them, of course, but I've probably seen 100 of them.
Wow.
A lot of them. I mean, if you look in garages, this is the odd thing about this car. You could be out in the middle of nowhere driving along and you'll see a garage door open. You know, I'm a garage peeper. I always look in people's garages when I drive past, like out in rural. Here's that word again. Out in rural. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a tough time.
Non-urban areas.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go. I'll admit it, I'm a garage peeper when I drive by. If I see a door open, I try to see if they have a project car or a finished, you know, show car, whatever. I've seen airplanes, all kinds of crazy
things.
This
is episode 2 of Stuff Scott Sees.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And I've seen a fair amount of old DeLoreans parked in garages out in the middle of the country.
Which makes sense because, and we can examine this in a little bit more detail. It makes sense when you realize how the parts and the trading work. You know, this is, for a lot of people, this is a great project car because you do have to spend some time. You have to know some people and you have to put some time into it.
It becomes quite a hobby to keep one of these things operating and keep it in condition, I guess, if you wanted to keep it original. Mm-hmm. You can only go to a certain amount of places to get parts for it because here's a company that went out of business. Boy, what are we talking now? 28 years ago?
Yeah.
28 years ago. They went out of business. So, and you could still buy parts from this thing. We'll talk about that in a moment, too. But.
So let's talk about what makes the car unique.
Okay.
We've mentioned some of it. When we say the gullwing doors, most people have probably seen parts of Back to the Future, I would hazard.
Yeah.
If you haven't, you can check it out. The car is one of the stars of the show. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting, especially knowing that this car was made for such a short time, that this really stole the show in Back to the Future. I'm not going to spoil the surprise for you. We'll just say the car is important. The doors, the gullwing doors, they don't open outward like your regular conventional car doors. They open up. And so it looks like a flying bird when both of the doors are open. It's a coupe.
Yeah.
So it's two doors. I guess that's important there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as we've mentioned, another interesting thing about it, stainless steel. Very unusual for a car to be built that way. It looks gray.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's a really odd material to choose as the exterior surface on your car.
Yeah.
Of course, there are parts that are made out of stainless steel on normal vehicles.
Sure.
Modern vehicles. And museum vehicles are often – they have metal parts replaced with stainless steel so that it won't rust when it's just sitting
very
there.
Very durable.
Yeah, it's very durable. And oddly enough, I found that the maintenance or the care for the stainless steel bodies of these is just an awful lot like what you would do to maintain like a stainless steel sink. It's just about the same thing. You just try not to go against the grain of the brushing that's on there, because there's a pattern brushed into the metalwork, so it's not a mirror surface. Mm-hmm. There's different types of cleansers that you can use if you get stains on them. If it's like a tar stain or it's just a really interesting looking vehicle
and completely different from probably any car that somebody has owned.
Exactly. And think about this. This was 1981, 82, that era.
Sure.
And I think the prototype, I'm sure it was around in the late 70s.
Had to be.
So, man, this thing at the time, it was like a spacecraft. It was really cool. It still is pretty cool looking, I think.
Oh, wait. Check out my cheesy segue.
Okay.
And just like a spacecraft, the price was, wait for it, astronomical.
No, not, you know what?
I'll be here all day.
At the time it was astronomical.
Yeah.
But when you look back at it right now, not so astronomical.
Not anymore, but we're talking,
'80s. So 28 years ago, mm-hmm. The suggested retail price of this thing, $25,000. Mm-hmm. Now that doesn't sound like an awful lot. It was a little bit more if you wanted the automatic trans. I think it was like another $650.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it this way, for some perspective, the Corvette at the time that General Motors was making, the Corvette was $8,000 less than the DeLorean.
$8,000
less. So you could pick up a Corvette for what would it be, $17,000? That's suggested retail price. $17,000. Nice. Not so bad. But that gives you a little bit of perspective of where this thing was priced for a sports car. And now when we say sports car.
Oh, yeah, we should get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into this a little bit. It was one of the criticisms of this car was that it was it had reasonable performance for the time. Reasonable.
Like 0 to 60 in a little over 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And looking back at that now, that's a laughable number.
Sure.
But again, 1982, it didn't look like it would do. It looked like it would go three times that fast. It's a really cool looking sports car,
mm-hmm.
but it did not have the performance that people wanted out of it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now, looking back, there's a lot of performance upgrades you can make to these cars. If you have one, you can buy their kits that you can kind of upgrade that a little bit. But it was powered at the time by a V6 Peugeot Renault Volvo engine. And it had about 130 horsepower. Again, you said the 0-60 time was around 10 and a half seconds.
Yeah.
I've seen that as low as a little over 8 seconds as well. And that's...
When they kit it out?
Well, that's the company claim numbers.
Oh, okay.
It's probably a little lower, but Road and Track, I think, had it right around 10 and a half, I think. 18 to 20 miles per gallon was the mileage for that thing.
Nah,
not terrible,
not
I guess.
Terrible. Not
kind of a heavy vehicle.
Yeah.
Top speed, factory claimed 130. Road and Track tested it. Top speed that they could get up to was 105.
You only have to get up to 88 miles an hour.
To get the super speeder ticket?
No, to travel through time.
Oh, God, I blew it.
That's didn't blow it.
88 miles per hour, you're right.
Scott.
Yeah, very good.
All right.
Very good. I just let that one go right over my head. Sorry, Ben.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I haven't watched that in years and years.
We'll be able to soldier through.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, we'll work on it.
So 105 is the is
105 was the tested speed from Road and Track at the time.
Yeah.
So they boast or push the numbers up just a little bit, but again, I think this thing just had a lot of really interesting features that made it unique enough that people really wanted to get one.
Sure.
Of these. I mean, it looked crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It had these gullwing doors, which were at the time completely innovative. They were really really interesting.
It was like a concept car that you could actually buy.
Yeah. Yeah, and the appearance of it, with the stainless steel and just the shape of the vehicle,
mm-hmm.
it was like an exotic.
You could argue that a lot of the reason for the vehicle's original popularity really was the image and the brilliant marketing of having it in that iconic series of films, because, when we talk about the performance, there have been some complaints about that, but also people aren't really – getting this vehicle for the performance. And astute listeners will notice that when we talk about people getting this vehicle, we are talking in the present tense.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because you can still get a DeLorean.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a brand new DeLorean, believe it or not.
Yeah, and hold on to that for a second, because what happened to the original company?
Yeah, I guess we should we should go there. We'll do it quickly because it's a sad story.
Yeah, we'll go down a little so we can end it on an up.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. It's a sad story because, of course, DeLorean, he invested everything he had into this.
Yes.
There were a lot of other grants that were given by the British government and other investors, including Johnny Carson, Sammy mm-hmm. Davis Jr. There are hundreds of investors that believed in this vehicle and his dream, and made it happen. And apparently, I think one of the rumors was that John only had to actually front something like, and I say only, but mm-hmm. we're talking out of $175 million that it needed to start this company. $175 million. The estimate is that he put about $700,000 of his own money into this to make it work.
Wow.
And so not terribly bad for his startup costs, I guess, considering. The bad thing about this is, and here's what happened. He ended up, just sales just weren't there. It just wasn't, it wasn't making it, right? And, it was apparent that it was going to have to be shut down. And he needed $17 million to save the business. And, you know, he gets in this trouble with, you know, just, overdue bills and, you know, et cetera, mm-hmm. what's going on. He tries, and this is a bad idea. Tried to make some fast cash to save the company. That's his story, save the company. I did this to save the company, and it involved illegal drugs. And unfortunately, an FBI sting as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was captured along with you know, other people in this group. And he was eventually – I should say that he was eventually acquitted of the charges.
Definitely. We should point that out.
So he was found not guilty because of the FBI entrapment issues mm-hmm. or you know, something that led
sort
them to –
Sort of a procedural objection.
Yeah. They said it was a case of FBI entrapment. So
right.
he was able to get off these charges.
And
go ahead.
And the company, though, can't recover when its founder is – in the midst of these problems, and so by 1982, they have gone belly up.
Yep, exactly. And here's one of the crazy things is that one of the mentions here is that when he flew from L.A. to New York, where you know this deal was supposed to go down mm-hmm. for you know this drugs for money thing was happening, and he says that he didn't know about the drug part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He just thought it was some type of shell business that was going on. He didn't know how it was really going down. You can believe that or not. He apparently just missed a phone call from someone that would have loaned him, a banker that was willing to loan him a legitimate $200 million that he could have used to save the company. And he, at the time when the company shut down, he owed $180 million.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, he owed $180 million. This guy was going to give him a legitimate $200 million to keep the company going. So it was that close. I don't know if it was a matter of hours, minutes, what, but he just missed the phone call for this offer. He had no idea it was coming.
That's, you know, but nobody can really predict the future.
No.
So the company shuts the doors, 1982, and they originally, in 1979, they had wanted to do about 20,000 cars.
Mm-hmm.
But by this time, when they closed in 1982, they've made less than 10,000, right? You said around 9,000?
Around 9, I think, was the final estimate.
And so they end up having this car that a lot of people love and want to have.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are, you know, like Johnny Carson, for instance, are probably upset, and understandably so, mm-hmm. because they have not seen a return from this. And then the DeLorean sort of becomes part of culture, and a subculture arises.
Yeah, it's because of the short time that it was produced,
mm-hmm.
it kind of got this mystique about it. It got this, I want to say cult following, but I don't know if that's the right way to say this or not. It's a very eager group of enthusiasts that mm-hmm. that really love the DeLorean, and understandably so. There's a lot of interesting things about it. Maybe not the original performance of the vehicle, although it was mm-hmm. respectable for the time. It wasn't, you know, anything like the supercars of the day.
Yeah.
But still, it was an interesting car. It was unique in some ways, and even today, it's still kind of something that catches your eye if you see it, you know, like I said, in you know, a barn somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
So we took the tone of the show down a little bit when we talked about the tragic ending of the original DMC, but now let's take it up, Scott.
Okay. Like we said, you could still buy a DeLorean. Mm-hmm. You can either buy a certified pre-owned DeLorean, mm-hmm. or you can buy a...
Wait for it.
Like a built from the ground up new DeLorean using original factory parts.
Brand spanking new.
Brand spanking new, that's right. And it'll cost you. It's expensive. I don't have the price of the... I had it somewhere.
It'll cost you more than 70 grand.
Really? 70,000.
If you want the absolute cream of the crop.
Wow.
If you want, and I've got this, our colleague at TechStuff, John Strickland, actually has written a great article on the DeLorean, and so I'm pulling some of these numbers from here. If you want just the no-frills base price, you know, so this thing probably doesn't even have a radio, much less the ability to travel through time. Mm-hmm. It's 57... it's about $57,000.
Really? So another $23,000 you can travel through time then?
Well,
$13,000, sorry.
Yeah, who knows? What price can you put on that?
Yeah, I guess so. $70,000 if you want it with all the bells and whistles.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I did notice they had a used car site as well. You know what? We should just say who this is. This is the DeLorean Motor Company is what the name of this this group goes by, and they were able to get the name when the copyright expired on the name. Is that
yes.
right? Copyright.
Yeah.
They were able to use the name, and they make clear that they're not part of the original.
Right.
They're not associated with John DeLorean. They're not the original DeLorean Motor Company. They are called the DeLorean Motor Company, and they sell DeLorean cars.
Yeah, and they have apparently a boatload of warehouses of the original parts.
You did say boat.
I did say boatload. Oh,
good. Okay. Good. And yeah, they're in Humble, Texas.
Okay.
And there's six worldwide locations, I believe, for this
nice.
Company, and five of them are here in the States. And they said that you can have yours restored if you have one. They've got all the parts that you need. You can even talk to them for maintenance tips and just questions. You can send your car to them for service.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting company. It's really pretty neat. And I thought was really cool is that you can get a car that's nearly 30 years out of date, built brand new for you at the factory. Well, sort of the factory, the pseudo factory. The new factory. Yeah.
We have a good note for this to end on. It's not, there's a resurgence there, right? And all the DeLorean fans who are sad about it are now experts. And we can't let it go mm-hmm. without addressing Kevin's question.
That's right. There's a mystery.
Oh, I love mystery.
Mystery, yeah. And turns out it's not much of a mystery, but we'll because it's been out there for a while now.
Yeah,
almost 10 years.
Just to recap from the beginning, the we're talking about the rumor, the popular legend that DeLoreans, which were for a time so unpopular that dealers were selling them at a loss,
mm-hmm.
Were actually so unusable that different ships, I've heard Japanese ships, I've heard other ships, actually purchased them to use them as anchors. Because they were so heavy being built of stainless steel.
I'll just give it away right now. Partially true.
What? Really?
Partially.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, not the cars themselves.
Okay.
But, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. And I'll keep it brief.
All right.
When the motor company closed down, the DeLorean Motor Company closed down in 82, the dyes that were used to manufacture the steel body panels for DeLorean were dumped into the ocean by the British government. Because they wanted to keep that was the rumor, is that they were dumped in the ocean by the British government to keep anybody from recreating the company, to make that come back. So that's one of the rumors that you always hear.
That sounds so malicious.
Now, the reality to this is that they did end up in the ocean.
Really?
Yeah, the dyes did end up in the ocean, but it's I guess it's less nefarious than you might think. Really, they were purchased, and this is a legitimate use for them.
Okay.
If you want to call it this, because anyways, I got this string of emails here, and this actually goes back, believe it or not, 10 years. It goes back 10 years, and this writer David Swingle corresponded with someone. Brian Morgan, who was a project administrator for a busy team which was restoring vintage car ferries in Wales, I believe. anyways, I'll go through this really quickly here, but he had this correspondence with this this person who's doing this ferry restoration.
Okay.
And here, the link is coming, trust me. The ferry that was coming in for restoration was, you know, they're working on it, and the captain says, "Hey, I've got some photos of this ship when it was in use." And he said, "Oh, sure, I'd like to take a look at them, so that way I can see, you know, some of the original parts, whatever." He sent him these photographs, and it shows this boat called the Severn Princess at work in the Ards Bay on, I'm going to mess up this name, Connemara? I guess it's Ards Bay, Connemara. Dropping heavy steel anchors overboard, which were used to secure nets that form the boundaries of a fish farm in Ards Bay. So
The anchors,
yes. These were the dies from the DeLorean Motor Company.
Weird.
They were sold when the company went into receivership.
Uh-huh.
They sold all parts of that factory. Everything, right? You know, it's everything must go, that type of auction.
Yeah.
This company needed heavy metal anchors to sink, you know, something, just machinery to sink, mm-hmm. to keep these nets in place, which is really becomes a fence for, you know, whatever it is. Did I say salmon?
Fish farm.
Just fish farm, yeah. And the anchors that they chose to buy were these DeLorean presses, these dies for the original stainless steel body parts.
Crazy. So there you go, Kevin.
Yeah, and you can see the photos. They're all online. There's a good 8 or 10 photos of the dies, and you know, there's arrows pointing to what parts are what. I mean, you can clearly see well, I can't exactly clearly see, but they can point out where the gullwing door press is. They can show you the fender portion. They've got the original factory markings on the side. It's definitely them.
It's indisputable.
It is, yeah.
And I guess, I don't know about you, man, but I'm kind of out of stuff on DeLoreans.
I'm wiped out.
Yeah. So we hope, to Garrett, to Kevin, to everyone else who is interested in this topic, we hope that we've given you an okay overview of the rise, fall, and what would you call it? The resurgence, the re-rise, the resurrection?
Yeah, sure.
The remix?
Yeah, the remix. DeLorean, the remix.
of the great, iconic DeLorean. And, see, Scott, should we just go ahead and let people know the email address?
Yeah, why not? It's highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
See you later.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.